This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. On today's show, I'll talk with a pair of indie rock musicians from Iran. Now that they're freshly living in exile in London, being independent means something very different.
Here we can do music faster and very perfect. But in Iran, we used to do music with adventure.
But first, we'll head down to New Orleans. It's late in 2005, 3 months after Hurricane Katrina.
Boy, I knew you'd come back. Yeah, I knew you'd never leave. You know it'd take more than a hurricane to pry me out of New Orleans. So what? Beer? Gin? Juice? What you need?
Water, son.
Water?
I could use a bath.
That's from the new HBO series Tremé. It's the latest from David Simon, who's best known for creating The Wire, the extraordinary series about drug dealing and policing and corruption in Baltimore. Both creators of Tremé, David Simon as well as Eric Overmeyer, are here with me now. Welcome to Studio 360.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thanks.
Now, when the show begins, one of the first characters we meet is a jazz trombonist played by Wendell Pierce, who people will remember as Bunk from The Wire. Let's listen to a clip of him. This is where he's taken a taxi across the city and doesn't quite have the full fare.
Look, it's $24 right now, goddammit.
I got you, bro. I got you covered. I'm leaving my damn bone, man. You know if I'm leaving my bone in your damn cab, I ain't running out on you.
$24.
Oh, listen, that's another thing. I don't know about all that $24 from the Paris line. You had listened to me and taken Earhart, you wouldn't have run into all that mess on Claiborne.
That is Wendell Pierce in the new HBO series Tremé. You specifically wrote that character for him, yeah?
Absolutely. Wendell is from New Orleans, native, and his parents actually lost their home in Pontchartrain Park, the neighborhood where he grew up.
Right down from the lake.
Yeah, they were flooded out. So this project was really in concert with Wendell and his feelings about New Orleans. And I think I would like to have seen Eric and I try to write this and not have a part for Wendell.
Yeah, David says Wendell would have hunted us down and killed us if we'd done it without him.
And did you create the character with him and say, Wendell, what do you want to do? Or did you just say, hey, we got this trombone player who screws around?
I sort of imagined him playing the trombone. I think in some way there's something delightful about the trombone. I can't quite explain it except
it's a somewhat comical instrument.
Yes.
And just for starts.
When you pitched Tremé to HBO, what was the capsule pitch?
Oh, God. It was a reflection on the post-Katrina history of New Orleans as told through ordinary people, most of whom were involved in the culture of New Orleans, which is an extraordinary thing. But as it stood as a pitch, Eric and I were probably a hilarious failure that day. We went into Carolyn Strauss's office.
Who was in charge of HBO at that time?
Yeah, programming. We tried to explain what we were intending on doing. She looked at us with, I think, all the sympathy she could muster and said, okay, just write it.
She said, I've never been to New Orleans. I have no idea what a Mardi Gras Indian is.
Really?
I have no idea what you're talking about. She actually said that. Yeah. So go write it.
Did you guys both go down after you pitched this? And HBO said, okay, write it. And did you go down and spend time in New Orleans to sort of figure out what it should be?
Yes. I was visiting fairly regularly to try to, in some ways, you're trying to track the narrative of the storm and its aftermath because that is the spine of the story.
I mean, it starts 3 months after Katrina.
Right. And you know, I think in some ways the story kept changing in front of our eyes in terms of the expectation of what might come back or what didn't come back or came back on what terms. The distance of doing this 5 years later and trying to recount that is extremely helpful.
There's an arc a bit to what has happened or hasn't happened, right, or surprisingly happened.
Right. I mean, one of the big themes of Tremé is the idea that it's actually the culture that saved the city, that, you know, government, economic imperatives, all these things really didn't matter. What mattered was the culture. The culture was something that nobody had the ability to discard. Those people who were involved in it, those people who loved it, they just had to do it.
Most HBO viewers didn't know Baltimore, probably hadn't been to Baltimore, had no fixed ideas about it. Probably most HBO viewers, your executive aside, have been there or know about it. Does that create a whole different set of challenges on
I don't think so, because I don't think they actually ever – I think the vast majority of people who travel to New Orleans don't get out of the French Quarter
Absolutely.
Or the Garden District. And we sort of rigorously avoided those places except for a handful of scenes. We're after the living city of New Orleans rather than the tourist version.
And people have said to us, I hope you're not doing X or Y. You're not going to shoot the fan overhead while
somebody's, the sweat runs
while
down.
The sweat runs down. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. Eric, you've lived there. You've had a second home there. Does that immunize you guys from being considered some kind of creative carpetbaggers in New Orleans?
Oh, no, not at all. I think they've been very – everybody's been very skeptical, and I think we're gradually winning them over as we use local people and they get to know the show. And so, but this is a city that they're still making fun of the Big Easy and Dennis Quaid's Cajun accent.
Down there.
Down there, yeah. So it's a very tough crowd to win over, and I hope we do.
Apart from being potential carpetbaggers from the East, does the fact that you were two white guys doing this set up any issues for you?
Well, I mean, obviously, our fellow producer, David Mills, is African-American. So he doesn't write the black guys. We don't write the white guys. We all write the human beings. And I've become so bored with that particular argument about sort of cultural primacy when it comes to story. The only rule that matters to me is how well did you execute?
Sure.
You know, good thing they let the boys write the girls or we wouldn't have Madame Bovary. Good thing they let, you know, the Gentiles write the Jews or you don't get Schindler's List. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, is the story worth telling? Did you want to tell it? Did you do your best
sure.
to tell it? You know, what else are we arguing about at this point in this late stage of the game?
You mentioned David Mills, who suddenly and recently died, who was a writer on this show. You'd worked with him and known him for a long, long time, yeah, David?
We were we worked on our college paper together. He was 19 and I was 20 when we met. And yeah, he passed away 2 days ago on set. He had an aneurysm and passed away very suddenly. You know, I'm talking about it now like it's part of a normal event. I can't even get my head around it, to be honest with you. It's very strange. He loved the show for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which was it had brought him back to the point of writing television. You know, he had had some great success. We won an Emmy together, a couple Emmys together for The Corner. We'd worked together a lot in the past. But he had then gone off to try to do his own stuff in network and ran into a lot of the morass of network development that is just, you know.
Meaning NBC, ABC, CBS as opposed to HBO.
Yeah, it would have been, you know, the kind of stuff that is – it would be comical if you weren't actually involved in it. I mean, Eric and I were laughing about a note that a network executive once gave Eric, which was, you can tell him. It's just,
she wasn't happy with the way people were fighting in the scene. And she said to me, Eric, couldn't we have the drama without the conflict? So, yeah. And with a stunned silence. And
that's,
I said,
that's one of the great ones. And yeah, I've heard many.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I said, well, no, I don't think so, really.
So, you know, David had 4 or 5 years of hitting his head against the wall, and he had the last couple of years he was just blogging. And I feel like we sort of lured him back out of his room and from his blogging with breadcrumbs, with, like, you know, teasing him with what this show could be.
And he's clearly, judging by his blog, a guy who loved music and kind of obscure, rootsy
Absolutely.
Black music.
He was an incredibly astute fan of music.
David, you said that some characters in The Wire were in the model of Greek tragic heroes. What about the characters in this show? Do you have a grand literary narrative notion for them?
No, I think we're stealing small this time. I mean, really here, it's a little more documentarian than pure drama. I mean, The Wire really was not following any accurate reading of the history of Baltimore. We just made it up. Here, it's a fictional story, but we're trying to be rigorous about what has happened in New Orleans since the storm. So, for example, in this first season, when you come in, there's not a lot of crime as an issue because crime had gone away after the storm. Season two, by then, the crime had come back and with a vengeance. So that has to be dealt with. But you have to deal with stuff when it became relevant in terms of the actual chronology.
One can't help but compare it to The Wire, and I'm going to keep doing that for the rest of this conversation, I'm sure. But so far, and I've only seen the first three episodes, all of the characters seem pretty good. We haven't seen the bad people or the much of the dark sides of the good people. Does that change?
Yes.
Good.
We wrote the pilot, and then we brought in David Mills and George Pelicanos. And that was good because they didn't know anything about New Orleans. And David and Simon and I are in love with New Orleans, let's face it. And they came in and said, aren't there any bad people in New Orleans? You know, where's the darkness? And they held our feet to the fire, and it'll come.
But I will say this. I don't think on The Wire, with a couple of exceptions, The Wire wasn't really about good people or bad people. People were betrayed more by the systemic inevitabilities of the modern city than they were by you know, Snidely Whiplash.
Right, but as a viewer, there were murderers, and murderers whom one liked and indeed respected, as opposed to these people who are all, so far,
normal people.
Hardworking, middle-class, working-class people.
They're ordinary people. Well, now you've hit on the great holy grail of network drama, which is, can you do a show that is about regular people, that is not about doctors saving lives or gangsters killing people or people in, you know, making decisions about the fate of democracy in the West Wing? You know, if you don't raise the stakes beyond ordinary life, the ordinary life of these people who are living in the wake of this extraordinary event, can it sustain itself? And the answer is, I don't know.
David Simon and Eric Overmyer are my guests, and in a minute I'll talk more with both of them about their new HBO show, Tremé. And we'll also hear from a great New Orleans musician who ended up as a character in the show.
Imagine 15 clubs in one little radius called Tremé, and all of them are popping hard.
And now, pretty girl, I see you got your hair fixed.
The trumpeter Kermit Ruffin. That's ahead in Studio 360 from PRI, Public Radio International, and WNYC. Stay with us. This is Kurt Anderson, and I am back in Studio 360 with David Simon and Eric Overmyer. They are the co-creators of Tremé, a new series on HBO that is set in New Orleans. It's about a whole bunch of people trying to get their lives back in order after Hurricane Katrina. And one of those characters is a very outspoken Tulane professor played by John Goodman. In this scene, he's on a levee being interviewed by a reporter.
Why should the American taxpayer foot the bill to fix New Orleans? It's going to cost billions.
Well, since when don't nations rebuild their great cities?
For the sake of argument, let's say New Orleans was once a great city.
Are you saying New Orleans is not a great city? A city that lives in the imagination of the world?
Huh. I suppose if you're a fan of the music, which has rather seen its day, let's be honest, or the food, a provincial cuisine which many would say is typically American, too fat, too rich, then yes, of course, New Orleans has its advocates. But what about the rest of the country?
Provincial, passé, hate the food, hate the music, hate the city. What the f*** are you doing down here? Limey vulture mother.
And that character in Tremé, played by John Goodman, grabs the reporter's microphone and tosses it in the water.
By the way, it's not an NPR reporter.
No,
you guys are of the people.
It's obviously the BBC.
John Goodman is a famous television star. Unlike The Wire, you've cast people like him and Steve Zahn and Melissa Leo. Elvis Costello has cameo. Why did you decide to go that route in the casting?
Well, in the case of John Goodman, we thought of him because he lives in New Orleans. He just seemed like the first person we should go to for that part.
As to Elvis Costello, his River in Reverse album that he did with Alan Toussaint was the first recording session back after the storm.
And you essentially see them making that.
Right.
The studio where they made it.
Button, please.
Joe Fox, that piece, that moment that you and Sam just played, don't play that.
At that spot,
we need Amity and Breeze to really shine on the reeds, so you have to be out of the way.
So let's do it again.
Thought we could slip it by you, eh?
How about that?
Just
Well, there is lots and lots and lots of music in this show. Was that part that was part of the concept from the get-go, that you would have long music segments?
Well, I think music was at the was the raison d'etre for doing the show, was at the heart of it. And really what we've been learning is how to do the music in a way that doesn't stop the show cold, that it's organic to the drama and it keeps the story going.
I've read, I think, an interview with you, Eric, where you said you actually have structured scenes around songs, yeah?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's absolutely right.
How does that work?
Well, as we're working out the story and as our characters are traveling through the landscape, we think, who could Wendell be playing with? And what could that song be if we can get that group of people together? And we have a long list of New Orleans musicians we want to use. Well, we've used, David Mills counted it up and said, thought we'd use 50 or 60 local
musicians.
Really?
So you're like a full employment program for New Orleans musicians.
We're trying, but we need 5 seasons to fit them all in. There's so many of them.
You are the creators. How does that work with this two-headed beast? Literally day-to-day, script-to-script, how does your collaboration work?
Generally, we reach agreement. And when we don't, in a way, that was what, on a writing basis, on a story basis, what David Mills was about, which was we were a triangle. And, you know, there's a lot of the writing room is basically 6 guys kicking it around and trying to make it better through the process of debate and argument and throwing out ideas. And you try not to let rank have too many privileges in that room because you want people to be able to speak and it gets better.
You want the best idea to win, not just who has it.
Right. So, generally speaking, you know, Eric and I agree on a lot, but when moments come where we don't, you sort of have to sway the room. And of course, David was a key vote. He was probably, you know, as a producer and a writer in the room, he was essential. And so that I've always found that dynamic works. I mean, on The Wire, it was often Ed and I would be at loggerheads, and it was either you in season 4 or George Pelicanos. It's that third vote. And in some way, if you can't convince the third vote, maybe there's something wrong with your argument, or you need to keep arguing.
So do you need, with the passing of David, do you need a new third vote?
We absolutely will.
I
have no idea who would that be. It seems inconceivable that anybody could replace him.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, the Wire is routinely called the best television show ever. It certainly is among the best.
It's
on
the best,
one hand.
It's the best television show.
Good. I'm glad we can stipulate
it's better
that.
Better than Barney Miller.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Okay.
We can stipulate that. But that creates a very high bar for your next project. Yeah.
Yes. There's a expectation, and I think if people come to Treme expecting a cop show or expecting it to tread on the same material or content.
It's not The Wire New Orleans?
Not by a long shot. And I think anyone showing up for that, it will be grandly disappointed if they want to see the same story told over again. And in fact, you know, that's part of the problem with episodic television is that if they love something about a show, they want to see it portrayed over and over again. When you give into that, you know, it's the long, sad road of hackdom. So the last thing that we can do is sort of look back at The Wire and go, what did they like about The Wire? And can we put some of that in Treme? This is another story. And at some point, you have to not care. You have to believe in the story and not look over your shoulder.
David Simon and Eric Overmyer, thank you very much. And good luck with Treme.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
David Simon and Eric Overmyer are the creators of Treme, which airs on HBO Sundays at 10 o'clock.